minutes of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
The time at KIXI now, 10 p.m.
CBS News. Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan have split a pair of primaries. Church maintaining a lead over Carter in Nebraska. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Reed Collins has details at the CBS News election headquarters.
They're still counting Democratic votes in Nebraska, and there's no way to tell who will win the contest between Jimmy Carter and Senator Frank Church. With 60% of the precincts reported, Church remains less than 5,000 votes ahead, a spread of some 4%, a surprisingly strong showing by Church. CBS News estimates that Reagan will win the Nebraska popularity contest with 53% to 47% for Mr. Ford. The same estimates give West Virginia to President Ford 57 to 43%. The delegate races remain scrambled in both states. George Wallace was swamped by the favorite son, Robert Byrd, in West Virginia. Senator Byrd is plowing ahead with some 90% of that state's Democratic ballot. This is Reed Collins, CBS News Election Headquarters.
Mr. Ford's split decision leaves his primary battle against Ronald Reagan unresolved and underscores the critical nature of next week's primary in the president's home state of Michigan, as Ford campaign director Rogers Morton conceded in Washington.
I think he's going to prevail, but I think we're going to have to fight it out on the convention floor if we lose Michigan. I think if he continues to lose, we've got some problems, but I'm not at all shaken or feel that he's going to continue to lose.
Morton conceding the president must win Michigan to prove he's viable. In the Connecticut Democratic primary, Jimmy Carter has edged Morris Udall by only 2 percentage points, Senator Henry Jackson third, a Humphrey-leaning uncommitted slate fourth. Voters were casting ballots for delegates to district conventions. How Connecticut's 51 national convention delegates will be distributed is still not clear. More after this.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could take a roast out of the freezer, put it in an oven, and have it defrost and cook, and call you when dinner's ready? Well, the revolutionary Amana Touchmatic Radar Range microwave oven can do that and more. That's right. Amana has made the greatest cooking discovery since fire even greater. Because the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range makes microwave cooking simple as 1, 2, 3. Now you can take food from the freezer to the table just by touching a few numbers on the control panel. So when you push start, the computer inside the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range takes over. It remembers and carries out your instructions with split-second accuracy. And when cooking's done, the timer even remembers and displays the correct time of day in lights. To really appreciate what the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range can do for you, you really have to see it in action. Plan now to stop by your Amana retailer this week just to see a demonstration of this fabulous way to cook. It's really something.
Senate and House Foreign Affairs Committees have quickly okayed separate versions of a new foreign military aid bill to replace the one vetoed last week by the president. Both versions go part of the way toward meeting Mr. Ford's objections to provisions which he said would restrict his conduct of foreign affairs. The Senate panel removed a ceiling on annual overseas arms sales, but it kept a provision which would limit military assistance grants after fiscal 1977. The Senate's to begin debate Wednesday on a compromise plan to create a 17-member watchdog committee over American intelligence services. Observers say sentiment in the Senate is heavily in favor of creating the committee. The Senate leadership devised the compromise to head off a battle between conservatives, who generally oppose restrictions on the intelligence community, and those demanding intelligence reforms. The Federal Food and Drug Administration has refused to reverse its 1969 ban on the use of cyclamates, the artificial sweetener. Based on present scientific data, the agency said, there's no assurance that cyclamates are safe for everyday use. The compound suspected as a possible cause of cancer, hypertension, and genetic damage. Two bombs exploded Tuesday afternoon at the computer center of the Central Maine Power Company in Augusta. There were no casualties. Service to 370,000 customers was unaffected. Now this.
It's the white collar, the heart's two-in-one collar that kills both ticks and fleas.
The dangerous tick season has begun. That's why it's so important to put the heart's two-in-one collar on your pet right now. Don't let terrible ticks live for days or weeks on your dog or cat. Get the white collar, the Hearts 2-in-1 collar today.
Get the white collar, the Hearts 2-in-1 collar. It kills both ticks and fleas.
I'm Win Elliott, CBS Radio Sports, and the time is getting near for the second jewel of the Triple Crown of Racing, the 101st running of the Preakness from Pimlico in Baltimore, Maryland. They're going to be running for the Black Eyed Susans this Saturday, the 15th. I'll be at trackside to bring you all the color of the event. Ray Haight will be with us to call the race for you. Listen for CBS Sports coverage, the Preakness, Saturday, May 15th, exclusively on radio over this CBS Radio Network.
The Senate Tuesday approved a gift of $25 million in emergency aid for the victims of last Thursday's earthquake in northern Italy. Vice President Rockefeller is to visit the area later this week. Aftershocks, capped by a short, sharp tremor, shook the area Tuesday. Buildings weakened by last week's quake collapsed. A number of injuries were reported, as well as the first confirmed case of typhoid. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. Considerable cloudiness. Early tomorrow, a slight chance of showers. Partly sunny and warmer tomorrow afternoon and Thursday. Highs upper 60s tomorrow, near 70 on Thursday, and lows in the upper 40s. 58 degrees currently downtown, 57 at the airport. Taking a look at sports. The National Basketball Association playoffs. Cleveland defeated Boston 83-78. The Celtics lead that series 2-1. In the ABA playoffs, Denver defeated the New York Nets. The Nets lead the series 3-2. Stanley Cup playoffs, Montreal over Philadelphia 2-1. The Canadiens have a 2-0 lead in their series. And in the World Hockey Association, Houston over New England, 4-3. The series tied at 2 games each. Major League Baseball, National League, Philadelphia over San Diego. Atlanta beat the Mets. Chicago down San Francisco. Cincinnati blank Pittsburgh. Los Angeles over St. Louis. And Houston beat Montreal. American League, Cleveland defeated Boston, Kansas City over Minnesota, Baltimore downed Milwaukee, Chicago lost to Texas, and Detroit beat the Yankees.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. I have a frightening and moving story for you about a man caught up in a web of suspicion and accused of unprovoked murder. From this beginning, point builds upon point until he is almost overwhelmed with prejudice and hatred, and the life he knew and believed in is distorted and made ugly. Many years ago, Kipling said in a poem that East was East and West was West, and that they would never meet. Our story concerns a similar situation that is very much with us today.
Then how do you explain it, Gil?
I can't. I saw a gun, Rita. I did see a gun.
Okay. But maybe there wasn't any gun, and you only thought he was aiming at you. It was dark.
Leave the explanations for my defense lawyer.
You're going to be tried? Oh, but they couldn't.
Yeah, but they can, Rita. A black cop kills a white kid. How does that sound?
Our mystery drama, With Malice Aforethought, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Carlos Carrasco. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, he said. I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, I answered. Then he suggested, listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married? What can I say? I guess it was love at first, Buick.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad.
dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Cancer hasn't stopped 1.5 million Americans from living full, active lives. One of them is golf champion Gene Littler.
You really never know how many friends you have until something like this comes about. People write me now that have the same problem, and I write back to them, try to give them a little bit of a boost. And hopefully this is a help to them, and this is one reason that I want to continue on the tour and play well, because I think that I can be, in some small way, an inspiration to a lot of people that are afflicted with this disease, and I think that I can be of some help.
Gene Littler, a real champion. This is Jose Ferrer. Join him and join me in fighting cancer. Give generously to your American Cancer Society.
With a little bit of hard work, a lot of support from your family, and a lot of faith in God, why, anything's possible.
We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
When Sergeant Gilmore Roby climbed into the unmarked car assigned to the narco squad that night, he had nothing on his mind that troubled him. All the way out to the bust, he sat quietly in the car. Oh, of course, there was danger. There always was during a bust. But after nearly 10 years on the force and 100 incidents a year, danger became routine. You knew it was there. You were prepared. You did your job. After all this time, you tried not to get up a sweat. You just couldn't and do your job right. And Gil Roby tried to do his best every time. That's what was expected of him. That's what he was paid for. And then it happened. The thing he had always kept hidden in the back of his mind.
Gil?
Yeah?
You see anything?
No. Nothing's moving.
Just been talking to the captain. He says they're in there. They're working in there.
Windows look dark. No lights.
Painted over, probably.
Smoke coming out the chimney. Smell it?
Yeah.
There's no mistaking that smell. Wood fire.
That's right. Nothing suspicious. Looks like a peaceful old suburban house.
What's the plan?
On a signal. The usual. He'll blink his flash 3 times. You take the back door, I'm taking the front. They'll cover us and keep the sides under control.
You're taking the front door, Kip?
Yeah.
Captain assigned it that way?
No, I did. All he said was you and Roby take the front door and the back.
The front is the tougher spot. Why you?
Front or back? You gonna give me an argument? They're both lousy.
Look, Kip, I don't...
Now, shut up. That's a signal. Get moving. Now, wait till you hear me. Then move in like gangbusters.
Open up! Open up, police! You are surrounded! Come out with your hands behind your neck! Stop! Stop!
Gil! Gil, are you all right?
Oh, good. There you are. Well, we got everything all tied up in front. We bagged them all.
Not all. Take a look.
Yeah, you got him. Right through the head.
Come in. Come in, Sergeant. Sit down.
Thanks, Chief.
That's your report in your hand?
I just typed it up.
Signed it yet?
I thought you might want to read it first, Captain. Here.
Yeah. Thanks.
Everything okay?
Gil, don't sign this yet.
Why?
Who's the lawyer for the police welfare organization now?
Why, Hendrickson. You know that, sir.
Yeah, I thought he'd retired. Well, before you sign any statement, better talk it over with Pete Hendrickson.
I don't get it, Chief.
The kid was dead on arrival. It isn't good.
Yeah, I know. Look, in 10 years as a cop, I never killed a man before. The kid had a pistol pointed right at me. He saw me in the light from the doorway when he came out. I yelled at him to stop. I saw his gun turn in my direction, and then I...
He didn't put up his hands after you called to him and identified yourself as a police officer?
No, not then.
But he put up his hands?
After I shot him. His hands went flying up.
Then he just crumpled forward into the high grass.
About the gun, you're sure you saw him point a gun at you?
As big as a cannon.
Gil, I'm going to have to ask you for your badge and your gun.
I'm being suspended?
Yeah, Gil.
Well, I don't get it. A suspected pusher pulls a gun on me. I defend myself by shooting him.
That's the big question, Gil. The dead kid didn't have a gun on him.
But he did. He did.
The whole area was cordoned off and searched. They went over it with a fine-tooth comb.
No gun.
No gun.
Is that you, honey?
Yeah, Rita.
You're later than usual tonight. Poker game at the precinct house?
Rita, please go back to bed.
Go to bed? Are you crazy? I'm starving. The doctor said my appetite would improve when I got into my fifth month. He wasn't even beginning to state the facts. I'm collapsing. What's the matter, Gil?
Rita, I killed a man tonight.
Oh, Gil, honey. Oh, my darling.
And I'm in real trouble.
Trouble? What do you mean, trouble? You didn't just go out and knock somebody off for kicks. It was duty, wasn't it?
Yeah, at least that's what I thought. That's the way it started.
I don't get you. What are you talking about?
Take a look at the paper. I just picked it up at the newsstand. First edition.
Trigger happy cop. Dead kid. Oh, what? It's a damn scandal, sheep. What do they mean, kid?
19, Rita. He was just a kid.
Well, he's 19. Lots of young kids are rotten, stealing, crooked, pushing dope. What did he do?
As far as we know, he didn't do anything. No record, nothing on him. He was suspected of being a pusher, but there was nothing on him to prove it.
Nothing on him but a gun. I know you, Gil. You wouldn't take a pot shot at a man without some kind of,
Provocation?
Yes, provocation. He must have pulled a gun on you.
They say he didn't.
Who says?
I saw a gun in his hand, pointed at me. But it was never found.
Well, they didn't look hard enough.
They looked all right.
Then somebody hid it or took it away or...
No. Police were there. No one got near the place until it had been completely gone over.
Then how do you explain it?
I can't. I saw a gun.
Okay. So maybe there wasn't any, and you thought he was aiming at you, and it was dark.
I'll leave that defense for my lawyer.
Lawyer? You're going to be tried?
I don't know.
But they couldn't, Gil.
Yeah, they can. A black cop kills a white kid. How does that sound, Rita? The way you keep asking me that over and over again, it makes me think you don't believe me.
Now, just a minute, Ruby. I'm your lawyer, and I want to do the best job I can for you. But if you keep fighting me...
I told you the way it happened. He was coming out the door with that gun pointed at me.
Still hanging on to that, huh?
That's the truth. Don't you want the truth?
Sure, but...
No buts, that's the truth.
And it just dissolved into thin air.
I don't know.
Look, you know there was a gun, and I believe you, but do you think a jury is going to believe you?
Jury? Well, I thought you said...
The DA spoke to me this afternoon in my office. He's going after an indictment. He's not happy about it. Nobody's happy about it. But the papers are talking about a cover-up. They don't make a big try to punish you. The whole political machine at City Hall will be in hot water. The lid will blow off.
So, I'm going to have to take the rap to keep the lid on.
I wouldn't put it quite that way.
What other way is there?
You did knock off that kid.
Yeah, that's all I've heard. Over and over again.
A lot of hate mail coming in on you. And it isn't all from whites.
Well, what can I do?
Stop trying to fight this thing. And start listening to people who know more about the law and public opinion than you do.
Meaning you?
Yeah, me. The commissioner, the mayor, the DA.
Go on.
I'm going to put in a plea of, but to put it in layman terms, we're going to say that you've been ill lately, suffering from severe headaches, that you've been fed a lot of racist propaganda. We'll bring in psychiatrists, psychologists...
No. I won't stand for that.
You want a cop a plea? Insanity, right? Going to say I was crazy with hate when I shot the white kid.
And not exactly.
You're going to drag racism into it, making it object lesson.
Listen to me, Roby.
Sergeant Roby. Sergeant Gilmore Roby to you, Mr. Watson.
Okay, Sergeant Gilmore Roby. What do you want to do?
I'll tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to play the black and white game. Sure, I'm black, and I know it. But I'm not anti-white. I'm not bitter. I'm not aggressive. I don't carry it around like a sword. I'm a man, a citizen. I pay my taxes. I do my job. I try to do it well. I don't hate anybody.
Well, it seems that we have wasted 1 hour and 45 minutes of my time.
Wasted?
You won't cooperate. You will not listen to anyone.
Well, you're trying to put words and ideas into my head, into my mouth, that are completely false.
I'm sure you won't have too much trouble finding a new lawyer.
You're walking out?
You're letting me out. My secretary will prepare a letter, which you will sign, releasing me. Good day, Sergeant.
Who are you calling, Gil?
I'm trying to reach Kip. It's about the fifth time I've tried to reach him. I guess he's not in.
Well, he's married, isn't he? Isn't she ever home?
I don't know. You met his wife, Rita.
Oh, yeah. Doris, isn't it? Once on that boat ride picnic 2 years ago.
She was very nice. You two had a long talk.
Yeah, and that was the end of it. There was a lot said about the four of us getting together, but it never happened.
Oh, now, darn it, Rita. What are you trying to say?
Look, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? We're not her kind, and she politely let us know it.
Look, I don't worry about her. Kip and I are friends. Good friends. We've pulled each other out of many a tight spot. If I can count on anyone in this, well, this rotten business I find myself in, I can count on Kip.
Well, where is he? Has he called you?
Well, he's just busy or something.
Well, you're in one of those tight spots now. It's time for Kip and the U.S. Marines to land. It's the outside buzzer. It's someone downstairs.
I'll get it. Hello?
Gil, it's me. Kip, buzz me in.
Sure, Kip. Well, Rita, what have you got to say now?
The Marines have landed and have the situation well in hand. I'll be in the bedroom, darling, so you two buddies can have a heart-to-heart talk.
Hiya, Gil.
Kip, am I glad to see you. Come on in, come on. Want a beer or coffee?
No, I just had lunch.
Well, sit. Sit.
No, I can only stay a minute, Gil. I gotta be on duty in 45 minutes, you know?
Yeah. How quickly you forget when you ain't punching the clock. I've been trying to reach you all week.
Yeah, I got your messages at the bureau.
Called your apartment several times, too.
Yeah, my wife told me you called.
Yeah?
Gil, I shouldn't be here, see? I was told I wasn't to see you or speak to you.
Why the hell not?
Because I'm gonna be a witness on the other side.
Kip, not you.
Look, I said no to the DA when he called me in and questioned me. It was all about the gun. Did I see it in the kid's hand? I said no, I didn't. It was the truth, Gil. I had to tell the truth.
Yeah?
I said I didn't want to get on the stand against you. He said he was going to call me up anyway, and I'd have to testify. I can't do you any harm, Gil. I mean, by testifying.
No more than has been done already.
Well, anyway, I went out to the place, the site of the trouble. I went out on my own. I spent 3 hours going over all the area.
Nothing?
Nothing, not even a water pistol. Look, Gil, if you say there was a gun in his hand, I believe you. I've never known you to take an easy way out of anything. I've never known you to lie. But you could be mistaken. Just believe me when I say that I'll do my very best for you.
One by one, the pieces are falling into place. What once had seemed like a few small stones now had grown into a great high wall, shutting out the sun. It seemed they were trying to take everything away from him. His job, his future, his friends. Gil wondered where it would end. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
The Hollow Mountains, where Apaches captured Samantha and made her a slave.
Who were the real savages? The Indians who captured me or the white men who rescued me?
The Hollow Mountains, where a gunrunner helped Samantha escape only to get what he wanted. The Hollow Mountains, where her lover could not accept Samantha back because she dared to survive.
Who were the real savages?
Read The Hollow Mountains from Popular Library, wherever paperbacks are sold.
From Maine to Mauna Loa, all across this great big land, there's a neighbor who is ready to lend a helping hand. When a hurricane is brewing, when an old man needs a friend, Red Cross is the good neighbor.
Here's Mother Teresa of Calcutta, whose sisters work with the sick, the dying, and the destitute of the world.
In India, we are taking care of nearly 46,000 lepers. We are now in 54 cities in India. We go to the people. All our work is going to the people.
Mother Teresa's sisters take care of the crippled and the unwanted. They have feeding centers and more, much of it due to the generosity of the American people.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to personally thank the people of the United States because we have been able to feed so many, to take care of so many. For us, Catholic Relief Service, the people of the United States have been the divine providence.
Catholic Relief Services continues to assist Mother Teresa and her workers. Support CRS along with the U.S. Catholic Conference Office of Migration and Refugees, as well as other distinguished works of the American bishops through the American Catholic Overseas Aid Appeal.
Three days of silence passed. Gil was so depressed, he didn't leave the apartment. Rita brought him the newspapers, which did very little to alleviate the gloom. Then a call came from his superior officer, the head of his division. He was to meet him on a street corner.
Sergeant! Sergeant Roby!
Yes, Captain.
Get in, Roby. This is a no parking, no standing zone. Want me to get a ticket?
No, sir.
Just drive through the park, Harry. Sergeant Roby and I are having a little conference. Did they keep you waiting long?
No, sir.
Let's drop the formality, Gil.
Sure.
The reason I wanted to talk to you this way is, well, it wouldn't look right. You're coming to my office while the grand jury is mulling over your case. How was it in front of the grand jury? Rough?
I was as nervous as a cat.
If the grand jury votes to indict, you're in for the fight of your life. If you lose, it'll mean your job, pension rights, the works. It might even mean a jail sentence if you get a bad break with the jury.
Oh, it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
I'm so down. I wish I could just quit and run away from it.
Don't ever dream of quitting or running. They'd have nailed you to the door. Now, you've got to have a good defense. Who's your lawyer? I understand you're letting Watson go.
He's already gone. Just stayed with me through the grand jury hearing.
Good. I never did like that political hack. You got to get a good lawyer, an honest guy, not a shyster playing all the angles.
Do you know of one? Remember, I'm just a cop, living on a cop's salary. I can't pay a big fee.
Oh, the PWO will help you with that. Let me worry.
About me?
About you, about every other man under me. I'm responsible to them and for them. And this whole business has thrown a gray cloud over our entire department. Gil, not only was a man killed in that raid, the raid was a washout.
A washout?
Every man picked up has been released. Lack of evidence.
But they all had records. Narcotics?
Yeah, but we found nothing.
The house been searched?
Taken apart board by board. Oh, incidentally, the mother of the kid you shot is suing the city and you.
That's all I need.
You know, if we'd found the place loaded with heroin, this would all sound very different in the papers. Even your business would be treated as regulation police work. You see, you can't afford to fail.
Gil, if you do, they're waiting to flatten you.
Well, they've certainly been after me.
Where can I drop you?
The next bus station. And thanks for everything. Especially wanting to see me.
Well, cheer up. We'll beat them yet. I hope.
I'll get it. Hello? What? Oh, how can you? Oh, you dirty rat.
Who was that, Rita?
It's nothing, Gil. It's nobody. It's just some nut. We shouldn't let these things bother us.
Oh, but they do, honey. They do. I've gotten a couple, too. They sink in deep and burn.
That's funny. I thought I was the only one getting them.
Two yesterday when you were out shopping.
Well, can't we change our number and get an unlisted one?
Just like the celebrities?
Well, in a way, we are kind of like celebrities. Our name is in the paper, on the TV news, or the radio.
Yeah, except that I suspect most of them like that kind of attention.
Well, I don't. Oh, Gil. All those nasty racial remarks and threats. You know what this last one said? He said my baby wouldn't be born alive.
Oh, Rita, Rita.
To pay for the life of the white kid you killed.
Oh, good Lord. Why can't they leave you alone, at least? Get hold of yourself, Rita, baby. Someone at the door.
Hi, Gil.
Kip, come in, come in. What brings you here? I thought you and I were not supposed to be seeing each other for a while.
Special police business. Captain is worried about you and your wife's safety, so he's put a 24-hour-a-day guard on the house.
Oh, it's not any too soon, Kip.
Ah, hiya, Rita.
We're getting a lot of frightening crank calls.
Ah, you want the department to put a tap on your phone?
It won't do much good. Never the same crank twice.
Yeah, you just gotta let it roll off your back. Don't let it get to you.
That's what I've been saying.
Anyway, my visit is official, not social. Just to let you know that you've got protection. Here, come here. Look out the window. You see that guy with the long hair and the straggly beard?
Dirty blue jeans and open shirt?
Right. That's Rinaldi.
No. Gino Rinaldi.
Yeah.
The best dressed man on the force. A great disguise.
He hates it. Next shift, you'll have Herman Goldberg, and I'll be on the midnight to 8 a.m. I requested it. I figured if there was going to be any nonsense, it would occur then.
Ah, Kip, it's good to know you'll be around.
Oh, it takes a load off my mind.
Thank the captain for this.
Bet it was your idea.
Maybe. I don't remember.
It is kind of strange that nothing was found that night. It might still be there.
Well, they got the police pretty well hanging on the ropes. No place was searched the way that was. But in my spare time, I'm going to keep an eye on it anyway.
Yeah, they might just be waiting for everything to die down. All the noise and publicity. And then go back and get it.
Maybe. Well, I'm going to run now. Keep your chin up. Something good will happen. Bye, Rita. Hey, how long now?
A million years.
Oh.
No, 3.5 months. But it feels like a million years.
No time at all. You'll do it standing on your hands. And remember, I'm putting in my bid for Godfather. I'm first, huh?
Well, we'll take the matter under advisement, Sergeant Kipnis.
Gil? Gil? Wake up, the phone.
What?
It's the phone, Gil. Can't you hear it?
Yeah. What time is it?
2:10. You think it's one of those crank calls? Oh, God. I hope they're not starting them at night now.
Well, there's one way to find out. I'm coming. Calling at this hour. Hello?
Sergeant Gilmore Roby.
Speaking.
Sorry to disturb you at this hour, Sergeant.
What do you want?
I want to help you.
What is this, some kind of joke? This a crank call? Well, just forget it. You've had your fun. Some darn fool waking us up at this hour of the night. Okay, go on. Let's have it.
I'm afraid there's some misunderstanding, Sergeant Roby. I'm serious when I say I want to help you.
Yeah?
And you are definitely in need of a friend.
Well, go on. Let's hear what you have to say.
I can't say it over the phone, Sergeant, for obvious reasons.
Well, the phone is not tapped, if that's your obvious reasons.
I'm happy to know that. But I still would prefer a face-to-face meeting.
Why?
One can speak more openly, more to the point.
Suppose I won't bite. As a matter of fact, I haven't even smelled the bait yet.
50,000 in small bills. That sound tempting?
That's the bait, eh? What's the hook?
I'm prepared to discuss that in complete detail.
When?
In 30 minutes.
But it's almost 3 in the morning. Look, before I rush into anything...
You are on the hook right now, Sergeant. It's my intention to get you off of it.
How?
Meet me in 30 minutes at the corner of Quentin Street and 4th. I think you know the neighborhood.
I walked that beat for 2 years.
Then you know there's a public phone on the corner, the southeast corner.
Yeah?
You will receive further instructions in a call to you on that phone. You are not to tell anyone where you're going. You will be watched. Agreed?
Agreed.
30 minutes. Take a cab.
30 minutes.
What's going on, Gil?
I'm going out, Rita.
Out?
To meet a guy.
I don't get it. At this hour? Who?
No time to explain. What? Now, look. Kip is on duty guarding this house. Get to him. Tell him that I am going to be at Quentin and 4th in about 29 minutes from now. Tell him to follow and be careful. I'll leave a message for him in the telephone booth on the southeast corner. Taxi! Taxi! Quentin and 4th, driver. Keep the change. I'm a little early. Hello? Hello?
You are more than prompt, Sergeant Roby. Now, here are your instructions. Take a cab to West 49th Street. 959 West 49th. I'll be waiting for you there. Have you got it?
959... West 49th.
Are you writing?
Yeah, so I won't forget.
Forget? How could you possibly forget that simple number?
I might get it reversed or something. After all, I am kind of nervous.
Oh, yes, probably. Well, it shouldn't take you more than 10 minutes to get here at this time of night.
If I can find a taxi...
Yes, that might be a problem. I'll give you an extra 10 minutes.
Gotcha. Yes, that might be a problem. Wait till Kip picks this one up. You might have the problem, mister. There. Stuck right on the glass. You can't miss this. Hey, taxi! Taxi! Boy, I'm in luck. Driver, I want to go to...
Step in, Sergeant. We're both going to the same address. Let me take you there.
You? You're the guy who...
I'm your caller, Sergeant Roby. Come in. That's better.
But I thought...
I anticipated what you thought, Sergeant Gilmore Roby, and also what you might think. I'm afraid your message left in the phone booth will lead someone on a wild goose chase.
Then we're not going to...
959 West 49th. Wouldn't think of it. Don't like the neighborhood, especially at night. It was just to prove to you that you couldn't outsmart me.
Just a minute. Oh, for goodness sake, Gil, get your finger off the bell, will you? Did you forget your key? Kip!
Hi.
Where's Gil?
Rita, can I come in?
Sure. What's the matter, Kip? Where's Gil?
I don't know. I went to the phone booth at Quentin and 4th, and just as I got there, I saw Gil hail a cab and get in. I went into the booth and found his message for me stuck on the glass. All it said was 959 West 49th Street.
But that must have been the address he got over the phone.
Right. So I called headquarters and alerted them. Told them to send a couple of cars to that address and cover the area.
I commandeered a private car, and the guy drove me there. I was there in less than 10 minutes after I got Gil's message. Place was surrounded.
And?
Well, 959 West 49th is an empty lot. The building was torn down over a year ago.
But I don't follow you. Why would Gil give you the wrong address?
Because he didn't know it was a phony. We've been outfoxed.
The burning question in the back of Kip's mind is why? What was the intention, the purpose of the unknown caller? What was wanted of his friend? If he had fears for Gil's safety, he didn't let Rita know them. On the surface, he maintained a calm, composed manner. Underneath, his mind was racing to discover the motive. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
And now, Coffee Rich, the frozen non-dairy creamer, presents Coffee Clutch. Tonight, we overhear a conversation in the dining room of Richfoot City's richest residence.
Matilda, the guests will be here any minute. Would you please explain 2 bowls of sugar and nothing in the creamer? Why, I never in my life...
Oh, no, Mom, it's a powdered creamer. We're out of Coffee Rich, Mom. Forgot to get it at market.
Out of Coffee Rich? Go next door and borrow some from the Townsends. I precisely told you to always keep Coffee Rich on hand in the refrigerator.
Yes, Mom, so delicious, Mum. Couldn't help but having some myself on cereal this morning.
Very well, Tilly. Coffee Rich is delicious.
And so convenient, too, Mum.
Never mind all that just now. You must procure that carton of Coffee Rich.
Very well, Mum.
Well, will Tilly succeed in her attempt to get the Townsend's carton of creamy, delicious Coffee Rich? Be with us again soon. And meanwhile, try Coffee Rich yourself and taste what the whole town is talking about.
Coffee Rich. 2 of the very best words for good taste in your grocer's frozen food case. Ah, a poem.
For more than 2 years now, people have been trying to get you to slow down to 55 miles an hour. Down to the speed limit. They've told you that slowing down will save millions of gallons of gasoline. They've told you that slowing down saves thousands of lives. And they've got the figures to prove it. I think those are pretty good reasons. Some of you obviously do, too, because some of you have slowed down. But an awful lot of people, for one reason or another, haven't. They seem to think the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit is something they can take or leave. It isn't. It's a law. With tickets and fines and all the rest, just like any other law. And I should know. I'm a police officer. From where I sit, there's just no way around it. The 55-mile-an-hour speed limit can do a lot of positive things. And it's my job to make sure it gets a chance to work. Not just because it's a good idea, but because it's the law.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
After leaving Gil's apartment, Kip went directly to headquarters and spilled out all he knew to the captain. When he had finished, he looked up to see his superior's face crimson with anger. It was the first time he had seen this usually mild-mannered man lose his temper.
I'm holding you responsible, Kipnis. What are we, a one-man operation here? What right do you have to go
off... Now, please, 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 sir. May I explain?
I've heard your explanation. You took off on your own and messed up the...
I didn't have time to ask for help. Gil had... Sergeant Roby got this call from an unknown source. He told his wife to get to me with the info that he was going to Quentin and Forth to a telephone booth on the southeast corner. There he must have received a call that directed him to 959 West 49th. Now, he left me that information stuck to the window of the booth.
That's where you went wrong. If you'd called in for help immediately...
Well, as soon as I got his message in the telephone booth,
I said immediately, when Mrs. Roby gave you the first information. We could have had the area under surveillance before Roby even got there.
Yes, sir.
You say you saw the cab pulling away. Anyone else in the cab besides Roby?
Well, I can't be sure. It was dark out. I thought at the time, however, that there was more than one man in the passenger seats.
This is all going to look very bad.
For Sergeant Roby, sir?
Yeah, for him, for us, too. The grand jury voted to indict. There's a warrant out for his arrest. We were supposed to pick him up today. This will compound matters, make him a fugitive.
What do we do now?
I got a pickup call out for Roby.
If he can be found. I'm worried about him.
So am I.
Look, isn't it possible, sir, that this is all kind of a smokescreen to block out the real objective?
What objective?
Well, we didn't get anything in that raid.
Except trouble.
That's right, sir. But we did know that that cute little suburban house with the white picket fence and the rose bushes was the distribution center for most of the heroin in this part of the country.
That's right. We've been watching it for weeks.
Well, what happened to it all? We couldn't find even a used glassine bag.
Go on.
I believe it's still there.
Where, Sergeant? Where?
Yeah. The question is, where? After the going over we gave that place, what's left to search?
I'm going along in your hunch, Kipnis. That's your assignment from now on. The house.
Okay. What about Sergeant Roby?
Well, he's my first consideration. I'm working on that myself.
I don't get it. You say you want to help me. What's in it for you?
Isn't there an old saying about looking a gift horse in the mouth? Don't question it.
50 big ones and a private plane to take me over the border.
Brazil, Sergeant. The United States and Brazil have no extradition treaty. They couldn't get you back to stand trial.
I still don't see what you have to gain by all this generosity.
We want you out, alive or dead. We need the excitement and furor your disappearance will cause.
I see.
Which do you prefer?
Well, that's an easy question. What do you want me to do?
Get your wife on the phone. You are to tell her this.
You sure you're going to be all right, Rita?
Oh, I'd feel better if we knew where Gil was. This waiting. Waiting is driving me crazy. I didn't sleep last night.
Now, look, I'm sending Doris over to stay with you. You shouldn't be alone at a time like this.
Oh.
I gotta run,
no,
Rita.
No, wait. Maybe it's about Gil. Hello?
Rita?
Oh, Gil, honey, where are you?
I can't tell you.
Can't tell what?
I don't know myself. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say.
Gil, I've been so worried about you.
Rita, listen to me. This is important. Please listen carefully. And don't do anything foolish. Don't talk to the police. Don't talk to anybody. My life is in danger.
Gil!
What I'm going to tell you must be kept secret.
What?
I said you must keep it secret.
Oh.
Tonight, at 7, you will be called and told to go to a phone booth.
Where?
I don't know. You will be told at 7.
At 7?
Right. Now, you might be called even earlier. So pack a small bag and keep it by the door.
Yeah, I'll keep it right by the door.
Trust me, baby. I'm doing the right thing. Don't ask questions. And keep a stiff upper lip. Bye, honey.
Goodbye, Gil. Kip. He was telling me to get you in on this. He kept saying Kip instead of keep.
Oh, smart guy. Yeah. He's on to something. Now, watch what happens when the boys get cracking on this one. Rita, hand me the phone. Just be calm, Rita. Answer the phone. We'll be listening. Keep him on as long as possible. We may be able to trace it. Pick up the phone.
Hello?
This is the call you've been expecting, Mrs. Roby.
What? Oh, could you speak louder? I can't hear you.
Listen carefully. I won't repeat. Leave the lights on in your apartment. Take your suitcase. You will not be coming back. Go to 20th and 3rd. There is a phone booth there.
Wait, okay, could you repeat that?
No, I will not repeat. Have you got that, or shall I ring off?
No, I've got it. I...
Be there in 20 minutes. Wait there for a call.
Wait, I... He's hung up.
We recorded the call, Rita, but we didn't have enough time to trace it. Technician thinks it was from a public phone.
Oh, what do I do now?
Just as he says, go to 23rd Street and...
20th and 3rd, Kip.
Oh, good girl, Rita. You're calmer than I am. Now look, there's a taxi waiting to pick you up, driven by a cop, so you won't feel deserted. The order has gone out to a special squad who already have the information. They'll be all around when you get there. As soon as you get the directions over the phone, pass them along to a cop who will identify himself. Rita, good luck.
Yes? Hello?
Just wanted to tell you, Mrs. Roby, we're wise to your little game with the police. You'd better go shopping tomorrow for something black.
No, please.
Oh, please come back on the phone. Oh, help me. Help me.
Driver?
Yeah?
When are you going to take the tape off my eyes?
Relax, will you? When we get where we're going.
The airfield? My wife's going to be there.
Is that what you've been told?
Yes.
So, she'll be there.
Where's the man I... Where's your boss?
Who do you mean?
Well, the man who arranged all this.
Why do you want to know?
Why? Well, why? Well, he owes me $50,000. That's a good reason.
50 G's. That's a lot of bread, mister. What for?
Well, what does it matter to you? Is he going to be at the airport?
How should I know? He don't tell me his business.
We are going to a flying field, aren't we?
That's what they told you. Brazil, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Must be some mistake.
Mistake?
I didn't have no orders to go to no flying field.
What orders did you have?
Yeah. I better tell you about that. It's time. Okay, Sergeant Roby, this is it. Get out.
Are we there?
You are. Pardon me. I forgot to introduce myself. You know me. You've probably seen my pictures in a paper. I'm the brother of the kid you knocked off.
What? What?
The boss gave me a bonus. He said I could have you. This is for my brother. Oh.
There's a body on the ground. It's Gil. Oh, Lord, he's been shot. Hey, give me a hand with him, will you? We've got to get him to a hospital.
Come in. Oh, Kip, come in.
Well, how's the patient?
Hiya, Kip.
Hey, is that you under all those bandages?
He was a lousy shot. Second try hit me in the chest. He was aiming at the head.
Well, you sure had me worried when we picked you up.
I don't get it at all. How did you know where to find me?
A tip. An anonymous tip. And guess who Mr. Anonymous was?
That guy who kidnapped me?
Right. Emil Dorcas, a biggie in the dope business. Diversionary tactics to send us off on something while the big job was being done. Your kidnapping. The business with Rita.
Big job.
The dope. It was there all the time. In the well. See? We never thought of that.
The phony well in the back?
Yeah, that cute little phony well behind that cute little suburban house, behind that cute little white picket fence. Over $2 million worth of white powder poison at the bottom of it.
And we took that house apart board by board. It was right out there, almost in plain sight.
Yeah, but you see, they couldn't come and get it. I was hanging around, and when I wasn't there, I got Phil Markham to watch.
They had to get you away.
Right. That's why they made the big bid to you. Oh, I suppose they wanted to get you for shooting Rick Kranzer, but that...
Kranzer's big brother nearly got me.
And we got him. We got them all. And I heard one of them is turning state's evidence.
There's something missing. The police were alerted on the tip about me running away. How did they know that the dope was being picked up?
The lady next door. Simple as that. Bless her heart, a terrible snoop. I spoke to her and asked her about neighbors. She told me that they were very suspicious, and she knew they were no good from the day they moved in there. So I agreed with her and told her to watch, as if I needed to tell her that. I gave her a special number to call. Everything was ready and waiting.
And that was that. There's just one thing that's bothering me, Kip. That charge against me. I'll have to face the judge as soon as I'm able to get out of here.
The charges have been dropped, Gil.
Dropped?
Why? How?
That gun you saw?
Yeah.
Well, you really saw it. Remember you said that he pointed the gun at you, and when you fired, his hands were flung up in the air?
Well, that's right.
Okay, the pistol went flying and dropped right in the well. They found it when they got the dope. Ballistic says you were a very lucky guy. That gun had been fired, but the bullet was a dud. It didn't go off.
Oh, Gil!
Oh, that really had me worried. I knew I saw that gun.
Mm-hmm. So the indictment has been squashed, and you are now a member in good standing of the old club.
Kip, I don't know how to thank you for all you've done.
I do. Kip, the new addition to our family, when he comes, is going to be called Gilmore Kipnis Roby. Do you like that?
Oh, it's super. But, suppose he's a girl.
Well, then it'll just be Kippy.
Long time ago, Kipling wrote, "East is east, and west is west, and never the twain shall meet, till earth and sky stand presently at God's great judgment seat." Well, perhaps times have changed since that poem was written. Perhaps today we all can like and understand one another, despite the difference in creed, color, and birth. Gil Robey and his very good friend Kip had found that possible. I'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. In addition to our other services, which are supported separately, Project Research has been established to deliver that knockout punch against leukemia. I can also tell you that every dollar donated to Project Research will help support a doctor or researcher in the leukemia field. Join me and get on a winning team, because it is only through research that a breakthrough can be made. Throw your knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. That's Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Our thanks to you for Project Research. We are committed to conquering leukemia.
Perhaps our poet anticipated the understanding between people of different beliefs and colors because he ends his poem, "But there is neither color, nor creed, nor birth when two strong men stand face to face, though they come from the ends of the earth." Our cast included Carlos Carrasco, William Redfield, Marion Seldes, Len Gotchman, and Robert Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It's not a fire. Could you please tell me where you're calling from?
I'm in a phone booth on the expressway. For Pete's sake, will you tell me what you're doing in my house? Let me speak to my wife.
I'm sorry, Mr. Farmer. You can't do that. Maybe it would be best if you came back home.
I'm not doing anything until you tell me what happened there.
There was a little trouble. I mean, a lot of trouble.
I want to know what kind.
You'd better just come back here, Mr. Farmer. Your wife and kid were hurt very bad.
Oh, Lord. Connie. Susie. How bad?
What's going on, for Pete's sake?
I want to know what happened. I want to know how they were hurt and how badly.
I hate to tell you, Mr. Farmer. I mean, just like this over the phone.
Damn you, tell me!
They're dead.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, considerable cloudiness tonight and early tomorrow. A slight chance of showers. Partly sunny and warmer tomorrow afternoon and Thursday. The highs tomorrow in the upper 60s, Thursday near 70. and lows in the upper 40s. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 58 degrees. The barometer is steady. It reads 30.40.
Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News is next on KIXI. The time now is 11 p.m.
CBS News, Ronald Reagan wins and Frank Church is leading in the Nebraska primaries. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Reagan appears safely headed for one more primary victory over President Ford. Frank Church is surprising many by leading Jimmy Carter in the Democratic balloting. A report from Walt Gibbs of station KLNG, Omaha.
Ronald Reagan holds a lead over President Ford in the Nebraska primary election, and Democrat Frank Church maintains his early lead over frontrunner Jimmy Carter. Church, the U.S. Senator from Idaho, had said it would take a political miracle for him to win. But he also told reporters in Omaha, miracles still happen in politics, maybe a miracle's in the making here in Nebraska. Church and Reagan had each campaigned across the state, something that Ford and Carter didn't do. Carter visited a handful of communities, and his stumping was not nearly as extensive as Church's. Reagan appeared to be doing well outside the Omaha and Lincoln metropolitan areas, especially in the traditional conservative 3rd District that covers most of western Nebraska. Ford held a slight lead in the initial returns, but Reagan took the lead and held it throughout the evening. Church led throughout. Walt Gibbs for CBS News, Omaha.
Latest figures show Reagan has 53% of the Nebraska GOP vote, and President Ford has 47%. Senator Church has 40% of the Democratic vote. Governor Carter has 36%. President Ford beat Reagan in the West Virginia GOP primary. Money could start flowing to the presidential candidates again. President Ford cleared the way Tuesday by signing a bill restructuring the Federal Election Commission and restoring its power to release public funds earmarked for the presidential hopefuls. The president said he opposed some parts of the bill, but added further delay would undermine the fair and proper conduct of the elections. Mr. Ford himself will be the chief beneficiary. He has a request for $1.4 million in federal matching funds before the commission. More news in a moment.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Duvernay. Before a meal, by day or night, Duvernay is always right. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Duvernay.
Most wines go with your meals, but Duvernay goes before. Think of it as an appetizer. A wine that's right for your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. The distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
A federal judge in Washington on Tuesday ordered tuna fishermen to stop using a particular method of fishing. It involves the use of nets to encircle schools of porpoises and catch the yellowfin tuna that swim underneath the mammals. It's estimated more than 100,000 porpoises are killed each year along with the tuna. Tuna fishermen are upset with the ruling, concerned about their livelihoods, and according to August Philando of the American Tuna Boat Association, it could mean higher prices for consumers.
The U.S. tuna fisherman provides about 50% of the market in the United States. And if, in effect, we're out of business and we cannot fish, then this means that the supply of tuna, food, to the U.S. consumer will have to be in decline. And what would become available would be pretty high priced.
Philando also said the decision could mean an end to the American tuna industry. Many people ran into the streets of towns and villages in northeast Italy Tuesday night as two strong tremors shook the buildings still standing following last Thursday's devastating earthquake. The new tremors caused a landslide which blocked several roads. Police said they did not think the new tremors caused any injuries, although earlier there were some reports of casualties. A tank truck carrying liquid ammonia fell off an overpass and onto a freeway in Houston, Texas on Tuesday. The vehicle exploded, killing four people and injuring at least 60 others. Now this.
We're the fresh guys from Wonder Bread. Give us a squeeze and feel the freshness for yourself. We're wrapped warm from the oven in Stay Fresh wrappers. You can feel it when you squeeze us on a shelf.
Yes, sir, because I'm a fresh guy from Wonder Bread.
Hey, what about me?
In my Stay Fresh wrapper, I'm a star.
What a lot of crust. Every loaf of Wonder's wrapped warm from the oven. We're the fresh guys from Wonder Bread.
Fresh Wonder Bread and English muffins.
I'm Win Elliott, CBS Radio Sports, and the time is getting near for the second jewel of the Triple Crown of Racing, the 101st running of the Preakness from Pimlico in Baltimore, Maryland. They're going to be running for the Black Eyed Susans this Saturday, the 15th. I'll be at trackside to bring you all the color of the event. Ray Hayte will be with us to call the race for you. Listen for CBS Sports coverage, the Preakness, Saturday, May 15th, exclusively on radio over this CBS Radio Network.
The Food and Drug Administration says it will not lift its ban on the artificial sweetener cyclamate, in spite of an effort to clear the substance by its manufacturer, Abbott Laboratories. The FDA said studies have failed to clear cyclamate of suspicions that it is a possible cause of cancer and genetic damage. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time now is 6 minutes past 11.
I'm Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac, on cities. When we signed the Declaration of Independence, one out of 20 Americans lived in a city. We had five great cities, Boston, New York, Charleston, Newport, and Philadelphia. Of them all, only Philadelphia was built according to a central plan. I am of the opinion that if a traveling atheist were to visit that city, he would quickly be converted to a believer, for all of Philadelphia has a unified design. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
When you need shoes, you go to a shoe store. But where do you go when you need insurance? Now there's a store filled with insurance, the Insurance Store. Here you'll find every kind of insurance, low prices and leading brands like Continental Insurance, the company with the Continental Soldier. Need insurance? Shop and save at the Insurance Store.
It's 24 hours of bright and beautiful music from KIXI.